We see that demand go up because as people's income levels go up, as we see the middle class and as we see the population going up, our food production is going to have to double by 2050. And that is huge.
Welcome to the Real Estate Monopoly Podcast. My name is Kerwin Donis. My brothers and I got into real estate investing to achieve financial freedom and help underserved communities in Guatemala, where our mom is from. Real estate is the vehicle we're taking to achieve our goals. And you can too. On this show, we share the stories of some of the most successful real estate investors to show you that you can succeed in real estate just like they have. Each episode, we deliver inspiring and educational content that will empower you to launch your real estate investing career and achieve your financial goals. Let's go. Brandon Silvera has bought and sold millions in real estate and currently manages over $100 million in assets. His farm management company was recognized in 2012 for achieving over 900% growth and was listed on the Inc. magazine list of fastest growing companies at number 701. It was the only agricultural company on the list. Brandon's fund, Farm Funder, allows passive investors to invest in farms. Brandon grew up in the farming industry. His family farmed, and he farmed for a living. When he saw a need for investors in the farm space, he decided to do something to meet that need.
I'm the CEO of Farm Funder, which we pool investors together and buy farmland. And I'm basically just a farming guy. I've been in farming my entire life, family farms, my own farm. And I really saw the need for investors to invest in real estate, but not spend, you know, $2, $3 million at a time, because that's kind of the reality of farmland investing. So there was a lot of good deals out there, and I saw the need for farmers to have the capital and for investors to want to invest. And so we started Farm Funder, which is basically a crowdfunding portal where we put deals on the portal and get investors to invest in these high profit potential farms.
Farm Funder is a unique fund that allows passive investors to invest in farmland without having to put up large amounts of capital. The story of Farm Funder and how it started was interesting. Brandon realized that farmers needed capital, and so he was inspired to start the fund.
We were a very small family farm, and we did a lot of work for other farmers when I was a kid. I graduated with an agricultural degree and knew that there was really not another path for me because I love it so much. And when I started going out and buying farms and talking to my neighbors and whatnot, you know, it's the barrier of entry is just super high. And you know, when you go in the banking world with farming, there's not a lot of leverage, and it takes a lot of cash. I mean, plain and simple, it takes a lot of cash. Equipment is expensive, you know, tractors, $200,000, $300,000, $500,000, things of that sort. And as I was expanding, and the farm was, our family farm was kind of coming to that plateau, there was new deals coming up and really good deals. And, you know, I didn't want to leverage myself and put myself out there and lose the farm that we had built. And there was a lot of people interested. Every time I talked to different investors and different people, they said, man, we would love to get into farming, but we just, you know, like, man, I can't buy a $3 million farm and then, $1 million worth of tractors and equipment. So that's where, you know, it just kind of clicked. And I started working on, the investment side as early as about 2010, and we launched Farm Funder in 2015. So we were, you know, as far as I know, the first crowdfunding portal for farmland, and we really just kind of built it up. We pre-funded deals and put deals together to put on the platform, and made sure that the investments were good. I mean, you know, just very little speculation. We want to make sure that the investors are safe, and the investment is going to has a high potential to be, you know, very profitable. So that's kind of how it was built.
Brandon raises capital through what is known as crowdfunding. Brandon learned about crowdfunding and realized the value it could bring to both farmers and investors.
When I talk about crowdfunding, we're doing we're using the crowdfunding law, which 506C. So we're creating an LLC, and you buy into the LLC for as little as $10,000. You can buy into the LLC, and let's just say we have a farm. The way we structure it and how we're doing things right now is, let's say we have a farm we're going to buy for $1 million. For as little as $10,000, you can invest in this this LLC. You'll own a portion of the LLC, and then we go out and buy the farm, and the farm is owned by that LLC. So we've structured our deals to where we have some bank loans, no debt at all, where it's just owned outright. Just depends on the farm, the piece of property, what we think that, you know, the safety is for those investors. But that structure is basically how it works. We hire a farm manager, which may be our company, or if it's not in our geographical area, we'll hire an outside farm manager to come in, manage the farm. And that could be a neighboring farmer, or it could be a farm management company. It just really depends. So, you know, that's kind of how things work. The farmers get the investors, which they're now farmers, get to, you know, realize the appreciation of the property. And when we harvest the crops, they get the profit. So a little bit different model. There's a lot of leasebacks that happen, and we try and capture the full profit potential. So hiring a farm manager and farming it, when that price goes up, the investors get to realize that profit, but they also have to realize that risk. If the price goes down, there's not a lease to stop it where it's a set, profit that they're going to make. So, and, you know, my personal opinion, through history, this is a better model, because farm prices have been good, and I think farm prices are going to stay good. More people, less farmland. I think it's, you know, kind of a no-brainer in that aspect.
Of course, like any investment, there are risks associated with farm investing. Though there are some potential pitfalls of investing in farms, Brandon was certain that the benefits were strong enough, and his investors agreed.
The way we have it structured, you know, the risks are a bad crop. You have a bad crop, you have a bad year, weather, pests, drought, all those things are issues that could affect your farm income. One good thing is it doesn't affect the appreciation or the value of the farm, but it could affect that year-to-year crop. And the way we mitigate that risk is by buying crop insurance. We buy crop insurance and we hedge what the crop could make to pay for our cultural costs. So there's really not a, we try and limit the risk to investors. And it's been, you know, working out pretty good.
Although there are no guaranteed timelines when it comes to real estate investing, Brandon has a typical timeline investors can expect to have their money in the fund for.
We try and structure things for about 10 years. We did just do an offering for a 5-year where we're developing a pistachio orchard from scratch, and we're going to sell it at year 5. We don't recommend anything shorter than that. 10 years is a great hold period. You get to realize the appreciation of that farm. And, you know, one thing in farming is because you're harvesting a crop year to year, if you have a bad year, you really have to weigh out those short-term dips to get the long-term investment. And farming is, you know, the perfect example of holding on for the long haul. I mean, if it was up to me, I would hold for 20 years, you know, but it's people don't necessarily want their money held up for 20 years. So we try and structure everything at an exit of year 10.
Brandon saw the value and security of farms that makes it an asset that will always be in demand. Typically, when you think of a farm, you might think of crops and large fields. However, they play a major role in our society that's often overlooked.
There's just more people on planet Earth, and we have to feed those people. We have 365 days to feed just short of 8 billion people. So if you think about that, farmers across the world are pretty spectacular in accomplishing this. And with more people, you have more more middle class. One thing we've seen, for example, in the almond industry, we grow a lot of almonds over here in California, and we see that demand go up because as people's income levels go up, you know, in other countries, almonds are a luxury, and they're able to eat more almonds and eat more of these nuts that they before weren't accessible. So, you know, as we see the middle class and as we see the population going up, you know, our food production is going to have to double by 2050. And that is huge. We're, you know, as far as technology goes in the field, we're not keeping up with demand. So you're seeing these crop prices going up and you're seeing farmland prices going up. You know, if you add all that in with, you know, I don't know how everyone thinks about inflation. Some people think it's coming because of all the money we printed and the and what's happened over the last 24 months. Some people think there's going to be some deflationary things going on. But if you're one of those people who believe in inflation and thinks that it's coming, you know, agricultural commodities are a amazing inflation hedge because these products are the first to go up with inflation.
Brandon's primary market is California. It's always fascinating to interview investors who operate in markets that are widely viewed as bad and not investor friendly. There are multiple reasons why farming in California is ideal for farmers like Brandon.
We love California because we're sort of the benchmark for quality. If you go to other countries, if it's a California product, you're going to get a premium over any other geographical area in the world. And that still holds true today, whether you're talking about almonds, walnuts, pistachios, or cotton. And we still grow a lot of cotton here, believe it or not. People don't realize that. When you're going to a textile mill for cotton in Peru or in India, if you have California cotton, they want to buy it first and they'll pay a premium for it. Because of that, you know, we love California. We think that we think the state of California can't live without us. You know, the investment climate is not as bad as everyone thinks. These ranches and these crops are still very profitable, and I believe, you know, just like you say, with other people thinking that it's not like that, maybe the competition gets a little bit less and you're able to pick up some of these ranches. But it's still a great state to do business. As far as the deals that we find, various. Some are deals that we are off market, some are on market, and we're negotiating the price down. We're very selective on what we put on the platform. And when I say very selective, I mean, I try not to speculate with high appreciation rates. I try not to speculate with unreasonable crop appreciation, things of that sort. We try and if we can't buy the underlying asset for, you know, where we can structure it for a good, you know, 8 to 10% return for investors, we pass on it. And I can tell you that's hard to find. But they're out there and we're finding it. Matter of fact, we're launching a new deal. We'll announce it next week on September 1st and it'll be live by September 10th. And it's a spectacular deal. So you'll have to check it out.
As a passive investor, it's important to be able to analyze and vet an investment opportunity. It makes sense that a passive investor should vet a farm deal to determine if it would meet their investment needs. According to Brandon, there are multiple factors a person should take into account when considering passively investing in a farm.
With California, we're notorious for our droughts, and water is a huge issue. So everything that we buy is in a two-source water water area. We have to have wells. We have to have surface water. And we do that to, you know, hedge against the risk of a drought year and whatnot. In flood years, we're able to use that surface water and bank water and replenish our aquifers. And on drought years, we use our wells, and it's worked out pretty good. But everything has to be in a two-source water district, and we look at each water district to see what the historical rate of water deliveries are. and just, you know, what we think the risk factors are. And I'll go as far as looking at a piece of property and saying, okay, well, if I have 100 acres and we have an extreme drought year, how profitable will it be if I have to take out 20 acres and not farm that 20 acres? Is this still going to be a good investment for our investors? What is that land going to be worth? You know, we'll look at these different scenarios before we buy a farm.
Like most businesses, Brandon has implemented systems into his business in order to scale it to the successful operation it is today. He manages his own farms as well as other farmers' properties and uses technology to minimize the amount of labor required on their farms.
We have a farm management company that manages some of these farms and manages farms for other investors that didn't invest through the portal. Also, we manage property for landowners that are passive themselves and have nothing to do with the farm, and we lease the farms from them. So we have a variety, and then there's also, we own some farms in the company as well. With labor, we try and, we try and do our best to have less labor intensive activities, right? For example, we grow wine grapes, and all of our wine grapes have specially designed trellis systems to where, we harvest everything with mechanical shaker. It shakes off the vine, and then we come through and we prune mechanically with a mechanical pruner. When in historically you come through and you prune by hand and you harvest by hand and whatnot. So same thing with our almonds and our pistachios, things of that sort. They're all mechanically harvested. Then when you look at our drip systems and our irrigation systems, very technologically advanced. We have drip hoses and micro sprinklers at each tree. We'll probe the ground and we'll know exactly how many hours to put on in a week. So we'll put on by the hour. So it's not like the old days where you just turn the water on and, what happens, happens. No, we're down to the hour. And we can have one person manage that entire or even multiple orchards just by turning on that irrigation with a flip of a switch and then turning it off after that hour. So that's, we try and stay as advanced as possible.
Brandon had an experience in another asset class, and although it didn't turn out well, it taught him a valuable lesson.
I think farming as a whole is harder than, you think it would be. When you're a kid, you love farming, and you love, I love being out in the field and irrigating and being with the crops. I mean, that was my favorite thing to do. And as you get older, you realize there's so many hats to wear as far as the marketing of these products, as far as, just the internal management of running a farm. And that includes HR and financing and whatnot. And luckily I like that aspect of it. I like the finance aspect of it, maybe not the HR part of it, but lucky I like those things. But it does take away from, the actual farming side of it. I mean, still to this day on the weekends, my favorite thing to do is to go out and just spend time on the ranch and just be there, it's tough, but like I said earlier, when you look at it in a 10-year or even 15-year investment range, it's a very good business to be in.
Yeah. So throughout your entire real estate journey, what has been your biggest failure, and what did it teach you?
I think I need to stick to farming. I've been very lucky, or I know farming well, so I've picked good ranches, I think, and good water districts, and I've been very blessed in that side. I should probably not buy condos and things of that sort, because I think my biggest failure was a condo I bought out of state, and I lost a bunch of money on it. I ended up just selling it. I was speculating, and then 2008 hit, and that was not cool.
Today, Brandon's business is small but successful. They've been able to help many investors through their fund, and their business is still growing.
We're profitable, so that's good. I consider that successful. We're still small. We're a small operation, compared to some of the larger investment groups out there, and we're okay with that. you know, one thing we don't have is a lot of outside money and multiple investors into our company itself. So we don't have to dictate how many deals we do or what the fees are for those deals and how much money the company itself has to bring in. And I'm happy about that because we can offer good deals when we want. And if we don't see a good deal, we don't offer a deal. And I hope that investors appreciate that because they know if they come on the platform and there's a deal on there, it's good. If there's, you know, other farmland deals out there, maybe people are just trying to sell them, you know, I don't know. I can't say what other people do, but I think that's such a blessing for us, you know, to not have that pressure, right. You know, to have to do something, if that makes sense.
There are certain trends in the farming industry, and as a result, there are less and less small farms in America today. This issue is another factor that inspired Brandon to start Farm Funder.
The farms are getting bigger, and it's inevitable. It's been a consistent, it's been consistent since for 40 years now, right? The average size of farming is getting bigger, and I think there's many reasons to that. I don't necessarily think it's large corporations pushing small farmers out as much as large corporations have the capital to buy these small farms. For example, if you have a 1,000-acre small farm, pistachio farm, and it's worth $45,000 an acre, worth $45 million, right? So does your neighbor have $45 million to buy it? A lot of times it's a larger corporation that has the money to do it. And a lot of reasons why smaller farmers are having a hard time passing it down from generation to generation is because, we're seeing a lot of regulation, right? We want to regulate the whole field to fork type of a situation where there's a lot of paperwork, there's a lot of government regulation, state and federal, and it becomes quite overwhelming for a smaller mom and pop farm where, you know, the husband would do the work and the wife would do the books. Well, now you need an HR manager. Now you need a compliance specialist to make sure you're, you know, all those things kind of add up. I would definitely not blame it on corporations as a whole. I think they are just the capitalists that are kind of taking advantage of the situation. I think there's a lot of factors that create pushing the small farmer out. But, you know, but I will say to the small farmers out there that, you know, unfortunately, growing is something that it has to happen in order to be viable in the future. And that's another thing about Farm Funder. And one of the key reasons why I started it was because if you have a farm, you know, and let's just say you farm 100 acres and you want to farm the 100 acres across the street. If you buy a new tractor, you know, it makes it you increase your per acre cost. But if that tractor is going across 200 acres instead of 100 acres, right, you spread that cost out. Well, you know, if we can come in and buy a farm and have the farmer next door manage it, and they're able to use their resources and they're able to farm more land and keep their farm and their family and help, be profitable, and then also give investors what they want by owning a piece of farmland in their portfolio, I think that's a win-win situation. And this year we're planning on opening up the platform to farmers to apply and, you know, hopefully expand their operation. So it's a good thing.
Brandon's vision for his business involves expansion and impact. He not only wants to provide his investors with great returns, but he also wants to educate them on the importance of farming.
Long term, we want to get more investors involved. We want people to, because I'm passionate about agriculture first, I want people to understand ag. I want people to be involved in it. And the best way to be interested in something is to put your money somewhere, right? For example, on our almond farms and whatnot, we send out almonds every year after harvest to all of our investors, right? Because we want them to see the tangible, like, hey, listen, you know, your farm grew this. We send out updates with some of the processes, like at bloom time when the bees are put out and they're pollinating the orchard, or when tractors are going through the field, or when we're harvesting, and just kind of showing the investors what's going on. And I want to bring that to as many investors as possible, because I think people are generally interested in where their food come from and what happens on a farm, right? And I always say, if you're an investor in one of our deals and you want to come out and look at this farm, give us a call, because you can come hang out, look at it, see it, see how it's growing. I think that's very important.
Investing in farms can be a great investment opportunity, but there are multiple other ways investing in a farm can benefit investors and society as a whole.
Well, multiple reasons. One, it's a lot of rural communities. It's farming. I mean, that's what keeps the that's what keeps these communities alive. So when you invest in a farm out here where we've got a population of 1,000 people or 2,000 people, you're helping that community. Two, we're actually getting ready to launch a really cool another farm that's coming out where, you know, Farm Funder as a whole, we want to do what's best for planet Earth. I mean, I've always said that farmers are the first environmentalists. So whether that be regenerative agriculture, organic conversion, or certified organic, we've done it all and we're doing it all. And we want to make sure that whatever's best for that farm and that land is done. So if that means that we can convert it to an organic farm, we're going to convert it. If the market demands it and it's good for the soil and it's good for Earth, that's what we're going to do. So, and I think that's another benefit of coming from a farming, background and being a farmer owned portal, that we're in tune with what the potentials are, of that soil. So
at the end of our conversation, Brandon threw out some of the best ways to get in touch with him and learn more about his company and what they do.
They can go to info@farmfunder.com, FARMFUNDR.com. And that's info@farmfunder.com. They can send over emails, ask any questions they want, set up a call. We'll talk to them. Check out the website, check out our past deals, check out future deals. We're launching another one here in another week or two. That one I think is going to go really fast because it's a spectacular deal. And just get on our email list and just see what we're doing, because there's a lot of changes happening and we're always doing some cool stuff.
Thank you for joining us today on the Real Estate Monopoly Podcast. If you got value from this episode, please do us a favor and give us a good rating and review on Apple Podcasts. Or if you'd simply tell a friend about the show, that would help us out too. Make sure to visit our website at www.donisinvestmentgroup.com/monopoly, where you can subscribe to our newsletter so you'll never miss a show. If you want to avoid the top 5 mistakes passive investors make, you can also check out our free ebook by going to www.donisinvestmentgroup.com and downloading it. Be sure to tune into our next episode. Until then, take care, guys.